Go with me to Psalm 121. And let's just read it right there. Psalm 121, starting in verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all. Everybody say all. From all evil. Notice that. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Man, you talk about a good psalm that you ought to be quoting over yourself and over your life and over your family. That's the Word of God right there to us. And so here the psalmist is he's telling us, listen, God is my help and I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. I'll lift my eyes from to where my help comes from. Now, you and I, most of the time, when we get in trouble, we get in trouble trying to do things on our own. Instead of looking to the Lord for help. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's a small thing. God still wants to help us. He wants to be there with us in that thing. So we have to be careful that we don't try to get out there and do things ourselves. I want to give you Zechariah 4, 6, and 7 out of the Message Bible. Listen to what it says. Here it says, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force these things. They only come through my spirit, says God of the angel armies. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you're nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it. I like that. It doesn't matter how big the mountain is in front of you. God says it'll become a molehill for you. Man, you got to get excited about that. Don't matter what the problem is, no matter what's going on, God will take that thing that looks so big and He'll turn it into a molehill. Why would He do that? Because I'm going to trust in Him. Notice, I'm not going to get ahead of Him. I'm going to look to the hills from where my help comes from. And I'm going to realize that my help comes from the Lord. So you and I got to realize God is our help at all times. And it's real easy for us, especially if we get worried, get anxiety, get impatient. We start wanting to do things on our own. So we have to be careful that we don't get ahead of the Lord. It's not that the Lord don't want to help us in things. It's just sometimes we get ahead of His timing. Did you hear me? God has a timetable. Folks, He does things on His time. And you and I, notice here, I like what the Message said there. You can't force these things. You cannot force God's hand. Did you hear me? You can't force God's hand. He's going to do it in His timing. Now, I'm not telling you that you can't act in faith and have God moving on your behalf. But God, even when He moves, going to move on His timetable, not yours. And so what your part is just to stay faithful in the thing until it comes to pass. Stay faithful in the thing until it's either out of your way or you have accomplished what it is your desire is to accomplish. So what you do here is you just realize my help's coming from the Lord and I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. I want to make sure I'm doing what God's plan is for my life. You don't want to get away from it. Let me show you something over here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Let me show you this here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It's not Christmas, but I want you to see it, okay? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, I want to show you that because I want you to look at this thing. I mean, you've got to look from natural and understand God's doing something supernatural. In the natural for Joseph, in his mind, he's got a cheating woman. Okay? He's got somebody here that he's got a problem with because here's this woman he's engaged to marry, and he finds out she's pregnant. Now, what's the natural tell you about that? Come on. The natural tells you there's something going on here. This is wrong. It shouldn't be happening. You guys can go back. That's happening back there in the back building. That's not happening in here, I don't think. Alarm's going off for y'all that watch it online or whatever. They still know what's going on. But that's a natural thing. He would in the natural think that she has cheated on him. Now, I want you to notice here that the Bible says that he is a just man. What's that mean? Well, that means he's a righteous man. He's a man that wants to do the right thing. He has every right to divorce her and make her look like she's a tramp, to make her look like she's bad. But the Bible says he doesn't want to make her a public example. He wants to make sure that she is not shamed. He loves her. He wouldn't be wanting to marry her if he didn't love her, but he don't love where she's at right now. But at the same time, he doesn't want to do anything that's going to hurt her. So he's thinking about that. He's pondering on, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this thing? So it's going through his mind. He's in the natural state here. Now you've got to understand this. He's trying to figure out, what am I going to do about my situation? I guess I'll just have to try to divorce her privately and try to keep the thing secret if I can and let it go, you know. But then the angel of the Lord shows up to him. And the angel of the Lord says, don't you be afraid to take her for your wife, because the thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now you see, if David goes with his natural plan, he's messing up God's plan. You see? Because nobody would have believed that Mary was pregnant of the Holy Ghost. But Joseph believed. Why? Because he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man that believed God. And the angel shows up and tells him that. He goes and he takes Mary to be his wife. And he doesn't know her. The Bible says he knows her not until after Jesus is born. But I wanted to show you this because it would have been real easy for Joseph to get out of the will of God, even though it looked like it was a bad thing happening to him. See, sometimes when bad things are happening and things look bad, it's not always that God's not in it. It's that God's going to use that thing and he's going to bring about some good things. Now, it's not always pleasant. It's not always look the best. You know, I've seen things look real strange when you're trying to carry out God's plan. Amen. Yeah, and it looks like, well, God's just not in this thing. I don't know what's going on with me. Why is all this happening to me and all this? I think about Job. I mean, you know, Austin did a great job not long ago preaching on Job. But think about his situation here. The Bible says he's a righteous man. He serves God. He loves God with all his heart. But look at all the things that Job went through. He's to the place that the boils are on him. He's scraping the boils with rocks and his friends are, they're bad mouthing him. And finally, his wife comes to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Notice that. You see, but the thing about it was, God was not doing that to Job. The enemy was doing that to Job. And all along, God had the plan, I'm going to make sure that Job is doubly blessed for what he's going through. You see, now did he have to go through some things? Sure he did. Do you think you're going to get through this life without going through something? The difference is, the Bible says that Job in all those things never charged God foolishly. See, sometimes we charge God with things God ain't doing. Sometimes we charge God with things that we're doing to ourselves. Come on now. I know we don't like to admit it, but I'm going to say that most of the stuff we go through, we cause. That's just me now. But I feel like we cause most of what we go through either by doing something we shouldn't or not doing something we should. Amen. I don't think we have God's best a lot of times because we want to do our thing. We want to do what we want to do. Job looked at his wife after she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he looked at her. He said, "You talk like a foolish woman." I just told you, tells you how much he loves God. One of you men turn around and tell your wife she's foolish. You know better, don't you? No. He says that what you're talking about there is foolish. God would never do this to me. He knew that and he trusted God. And so when you look at him, it looks strange what he was going through. But in the end, God doubly blessed Job for what he went through. Now, if you go over here with me to Judges chapter 6, jump over there. And let's look at something over here. We're talking about, you know, not trying to do things on your own, waiting on the Lord and using God's might and power in our lives here. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abarazite." Abarazite, I guess is how you say it. "And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him," now listen, "the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, where is Gideon? Gideon, he's over at the wine presses, hiding, and he's not pressing wine. He's getting the wheat out, threshing the wheat, shaking the wheat off the stalks and things. Why in the world is he in the wine press threshing wheat? Because he knows that the enemy is not going to be looking for somebody in the wine press, because it's not time for the grapes, it's time for the wheat. And he's got his wheat in there where the wine press is, because he's thinking they won't find me here. He's hiding. And the angel of the Lord shows up to him, and Lord, look here. "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." He's hiding. Mighty man of valor. It don't look like he's a mighty man of valor. Right? Come on now. Let's read on. "And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if..." Notice that big "if." "If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Notice that. Job was looking at things in the natural. Read on. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go this night, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor and menacing, and I am at least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." See, Gideon's looking at things in the natural, and you know, and he calls him a mighty man of valor and says, "The Lord is with you." And I mean, you know, Gideon's just natural, right? He's having to hide out to thresh his wheat. So when the angel of the Lord says, you know, "The Lord's with you," he said, "If the Lord's with me, where's he at?" Right? Come on, anybody else ever thought that? Come on, if the Lord's with me, why? And then he goes on and says, "Where be all his miracles? You know, if this healing thing's really right, how come I'm not healed? Come on now. If this prosperity message, if that's really true, why have I not got money coming to me yet?" That's natural things that we think, right? But the angel of the Lord says, and you know, if you notice there, it changes from the angel of the Lord to the Lord said. The Lord said to him, "I'll be with you, I'll go with you." And he goes on and says, "You go ahead in your might, what you can do, and I'll be with you, and I'll allow you to whip the Midianites as one man." Come on. You see, if you look at that in the natural, Gideon was just looking at the way things were. See, the trouble with us a lot of times is we're looking at situations around us, and we're looking at them in the natural, and we're not remembering that the Lord is with us, and that the Lord's going to go with us no matter what we're going through. We're not in this on our own. God is always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be there for us. And so we have to get a hold of that. Now here's the thing. You've got to cooperate with God. Gideon could have said, no, ain't no way I'm doing that. I can't do that, man. There are a lot more of them than they are of us. And, you know, truthfully, if you remember the story of Gideon, God got him down to 300 people. From thousands down to 300. And then sent him out against the army. Because God wanted Gideon to know that whatever was done was going to be done through him. It was God that was in control of this thing. He wanted Gideon to know it. He wanted the men to see it. He wanted the people. Can you imagine the tale that they told when they came back and said, we went up there, blew our horns, broke those pitchers, and man, that army started turning on. Can you imagine the faith that rose up in all those? I tell you how much it rose up. Man, they started chasing after them and everybody started helping them and they killed them all. Why? Because God moved when it was time for God to move. Notice he didn't tell Gideon. Remember, if you remember the story, he had Gideon go listen. See what's going on. Gideon's faith raised when he heard the dream that the man had about that big wheat bread rolling down and Christ in the tent. And he heard the guy say, well, this is nothing but the hand of the Lord and Gideon. So Gideon's ready. You know, he's pumped. And he goes back and he gets them together. And when they come in there, he's ready. He's believing God. But you see, in the beginning, he thought, if God's with me, now he knows God's with him. You see, don't look at things in the natural. Look at from the supernatural. Look at it in the spirit, because the natural always looks less. Did you hear me? Always looks less. I like to watch boxing. I don't watch boxing any much, but I like to watch it. So I watch little clips, and I especially like to watch some of the cage stuff where they actually hit each other and hit each other hard. You can say, Pastor, that's awful that you like that, but it's a sport, so, you know. But the thing I really like is when there's a smart aleck and he's hazing his opponent, sticking his face out, you know, all this stuff. And then before it's over with, his opponent just absolutely crashes him. I love that. Can I tell you, the devil is like that guy. He's always hazing. Because he thinks he can whip us. He thinks he's got it over us. But the fact is, usually the opponent that does that stays calm and cool, keeps his composure, and when he gets opportunity, he beats the far out of him. You know what you need to do? No matter what the devil's throwing at you, no matter what he's saying to you, no matter how he's hazing you, you need to keep your calm and cool and realize that on the inside of you is miracle working, world creating power living on the inside of you. You just need to wait for God's timing and beat the tar out of the devil. Let him have it with both barrels. Shoot him with the word of God till he can't be shot anymore. Come on. Use that sword of the spirit that you've got. And I mean, just cut him to pieces. Give him the word of God. Every time he says something, give him another slash of the word of God. Let him know what his future is. Come on, ain't enough folks is letting the devil know what his future is. His future is the lake of fire. He's already a defeated foe. Come on. And see, if you know that, then he has no power over you. If you know you've already got the power living on the inside of you to defeat him, and you have, then you don't have to let the devil run roughshod over you. God used Gideon to deliver the Israel from the Midianites. Now, here's the thing. You might not always feel like you're winning. Sometimes it just don't feel like you do. But you can't forget that God's on your side. You've got to remember. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 from the Amplified. And I like it from the Amplified. It's a little long, but listen to how it says it in the Amplified. It says, let your character or your moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Come on. The Bible teaches don't fear man. Come on, but fear the Lord who has the ability to destroy both his soul, both spirit and soul in hell. See, we got to learn to know that God is on my side and He's not going to let go. He's not. Now, you may let go of Him, but He's not going to let go of you. So notice how He says, don't get caught up in all this stuff. Make sure that you're relying solely on Him because He's going to be right there with you. And understand, the Lord is my helper. He is my helper. Don't matter what the devil's doing. Now, you may think, you may say, well, you know, the thing about it is, I just don't understand why I'm going through this. What's going on here? Well, you know, I don't understand sometimes either, but I know the Lord does. See, sometimes there's things that it's just hard for us to understand. But listen to what Hebrews 4:15-16 says. He says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Notice here, it says whatever you're going through, God has already allowed Jesus Christ to go through it for you. He was in all points tempted like we, except without sin. He didn't question God on things. Come on. He allowed the things that needed to happen, even though He dreaded it. Remember the garden. If there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But He said, not my will, your will be done. Sometimes, see, what the devil really likes to do, he likes to get you out on a limb by yourself. He likes to make you think you're the only one that's ever been through what you're going through right now. You know, nobody else knows what I'm going through. Nobody else has been what... Yes, people all the time are going through the same thing you're going through, but the Lord Jesus went through it before anybody. Why did He go through it? So you could. He made a way so that you could have a way. Come on now. See, when He's my helper, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I just keep on trusting Him. I just keep on saying, Lord, You're my help. You're my help. But Pastor, it is so hard to come boldly before the throne of grace when I'm so broken. See, that's the time when you need to come the hardest. Right? When you're broken, that's the time that you really need to come to the throne. Well, how in the world do I come? Well, here's how I come. You come in worship. I like what Brother Danny said the other night. Did you notice how he talked about all those that were coming to Jesus for help? No matter whether it was for dead being raised or sickness or disease or whatever it was, every one of them that came, the first thing they did was worship Jesus. See, a lot of times I think we come complaining, murmuring, talking about how bad our situation is, instead of just coming and worshiping Him. Notice that they worshiped Him before they asked Him. They worshiped Him. See, God is a God that desires our worship. We were created to worship Him. Yes, we're His sons and daughters. Yes, He wants the very best for us. But He also created us to worship Him, to lift Him high, to exalt Him. And when you come before the Lord, worship Him, even if you are broken, guess what will begin to happen to you as you worship? The brokenness begins to get mended. See, because here's the thing. If you are worshiping the Lord Jesus, and you're truly worshiping Him, what happens is, your mind is taken away from you, from your situation, and it's placed on Him because He is the object of your worship. And so now I'm not thinking about me or my situation. I'm only focused on the Lord Jesus, and I'm worshiping Him, and I'm exalting in Him. And while I'm doing that, He's moving on the scene to take care of my problem for me. You see, that's how you make sure that you come boldly before the throne of grace. You come and you just worship Him and let Him be God in your life. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 16:27 says. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Glory and honor are in His presence. You see, when you come, even if you're broken, if you worship, if you lift Him up, guess what's going to happen? You're going to begin to raise up, because glory and honor cannot stay down. Did you hear me? When glory and honor start to come into you, you're going to raise up, because that means you understand who I am in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Bible says here in Psalm 35, the last part of it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, sometimes you're going through some things, but you just keep worshiping. You keep praising. You may be crying your eyes out right now, but that doesn't change the fact that God's going to give you joy in the morning. Come on, think about it. Remember when David and the palace was burned down over there, and they came, and all the soldiers, they'd been fighting for the Lord. They came back, their hometown had been burned down. And the Bible says every one of them cried till they couldn't cry anymore. Their wives, their kids had all been taken captive. Everything had been taken away. Ziklag had been burned. And there they were. And then all of a sudden, David's getting blamed by the soldiers. Or, you know, if you hadn't been, you would have been here to protect our family. And David's already cried all he can cry. He lost his family too. What did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He went before God. You see, that's the first place you go, not the last. Did you hear me? Most folks try to go everywhere else before they go to God. And God ought to be the first place that we go to. So even if there's a problem going on, notice this, joy cometh in the morning. And Nehemiah 8:10 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you see, when I go worship the Lord, and I'm even, no matter if I'm crying, even matter if I'm broken, I'm worshiping Him, praising Him, my joy is going to come, and that joy is going to be my strength. That's what's going to give me the courage to get up and face whatever it is I'm facing. I'm going to be able to look my enemy in the eye and say, no more. This is it. Draw the line in the sand. You're a defeated foe. In the name of Jesus, you have to stay away from me. In the name of Jesus, you've got to take your stuff and go. In the name of Jesus, I receive my... whatever it is. You have to just be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And so, understand that God is on your side. Look over here at 2 Corinthians with me. We'll go over here and look at a scripture. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Look at verse 3 here. Very familiar, should be for most of us here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh. What's that mean? We're human, but we don't war human-like. We're in this body, but this battle we're in is not a human battle. Look at it. Let's go on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice that. See, when you're looking at a person that's causing you problems, you're looking at the wrong thing. Yeah, I mean, you can fight that person if you want to, but that's not going to help your situation, because there's a spirit behind that person causing that. What you have to do is you have to take that prayer weapon you have and begin to pull down strongholds. You need to take that anointed tongue you have and begin to speak over that situation and pull down the stronghold. Did you hear me? You see, that stronghold is there, and it's going to take the Word of God and faith in the Word of God that's going to bring that down. Notice that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice that. He says here that we have to cast down imaginations. Cast down. That's something that you have to do. See, here's the thing. We can only be defeated if we allow ourselves to be defeated in our minds. Did you hear me? That's understand, when I'm talking about that bully, that guy that's hazing, that's all that, what he's trying to do is get into that opponent's mind. Muhammad Ali used to do that when he had boxed. He had talked to his opponents and do stuff and say things and whatever, trying to get into their mind, trying to get them to physically, in their mind, to give up. If you give up in your mind, you've lost it already physically. You have to know that you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You have to know, is greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You have to know that you've been given all power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have to know that. Yeah, but Pastor, you just don't know what all they say. Do those words hurt you? Do they bring blood? Come on, you've got to understand bullies talk. Bullies talk. Right? Goliath talked. Why, you little ruddy thing, I'll tear your head. I'll feed you to the fowls of the air. David talked back. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. But I've come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to do to you what you said you're going to do to me. See, David knew who his God was. And he knew his God was with him. Remember Saul trying to give him his armor? Here, take my armor if you're going to go out there. And David put it on. I can't use this stuff. I've never fought in stuff like this. I'll take what I know. And David took the stones and his sling. And he brought down the giant. Because he trusted the Lord to use what he had. Instead of what somebody else had. See, God can only use what you have. So you have to make sure that I've got myself loaded up with the Word of God. You can't use what somebody else has got. The sons of Sceva tried that, right? They said, we adjure you in whom Paul preaches, in Jesus, the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of the man. The demon said, well, I know who Jesus is. Had a few dealings with him. I know who Paul is. I've had a few dealings with him. But I don't know who you are. And he whipped up on them. See, they didn't know their God. They only heard of their God. You got to know Him. You got to know the Word. You got to know what's in you. Dad Hagin always said, you know, Acts chapter 3 was a perfect example of that. You can't give somebody something that you don't have. Acts chapter 3, you remember the guy at the gate, this cripple, they carry him, put him at the gate. Here comes Peter and John along, and he's wanting alms, and they look at him and say, we don't have any silver and gold, but such as we have, give we unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he jumped up and walked. See, you have greatness on the inside of you. You have the power of God on the inside of you. You have a weapon on the inside of you that will defeat every fiery dart of the enemy. You have a weapon on the inside of you that makes devils shudder. Come on. Devils tremble at what name? The name of Jesus. You have that name and have authority to use that name. You can make the devil tremble by saying, in the name of Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Come on. Get out. Stop. I bind you. Whatever it is you need to do. But you've got to know that. You've got to know that God is right here with me. Because see, you've got to understand something. It's not you that's saying it. It's the Holy Spirit through this you that's saying it. When Jesus looks at you, He sees the blood. When the devil looks at you and the blood's applied, guess what he sees? Jesus. Jesus is there. Because you have been filled with the Spirit of God. And now you're a God child. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a God child. A God child. I know religious folks don't like that. But I don't care. My Bible tells me we're the sons and daughters of God. Come on. My Bible tells me that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening me, making me alive. It's inside me. We've got to understand that. That's who we are. Okay? Now, Proverbs 23:7 says this, that for as he thinketh in his heart, talking about a man, so is he. So what do you think about yourself? What are you thinking about yourself right now? Who am I? Come on. See, you got to see yourself this way. You are not just an ordinary person. And when you get past that, it'll help you a lot. And you don't have to deal with things that ordinary people deal with. Come on. You have to understand that you need to see yourself and think of yourself as a God child, anointed of God, with the power of God operating through you. You need to think of yourself as a person that lays hands on the sick and they recover. Come on. You need to see yourself as somebody that declares a thing and it comes to pass. You've got to see yourself that way. Why? Because the Bible says God sees you that way. And to see yourself any less is being a discredit to God. Let me give you one more scripture. Go with me to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Let's look at verse 17 here. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Listen to this. I'm just going to read the first two words first. No weapon. Everybody say no weapon. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Y'all just get excited about that right there. It don't matter what the devil's got planned for you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Look at this. And every tongue. I like that. There have been a lot of tongues flapped over the past couple years. A lot of tongues flapping. Now listen to this. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Notice that. Did you know that that word heritage, that's like an inheritance? It's like a habitation. It's something that belongs to you that nobody else can't take away. It's yours. The heritage of the saints is that no weapon formed against you and every tongue that rises up against you, you're going to condemn. Think about that one for a minute. Don't matter what the enemy says. He's a liar. Did you hear me? He's a liar and the father of lies. So here's what we got to do. We got to quit fighting battles in the natural. You've got to quit fighting your battles in the natural. You've got to understand that when somebody comes against you, you're a child of God, you're living righteous, you're living before God. If somebody comes against you, you've got to know immediately that it's the devil. I don't care if it's your best friend. I don't care if it's your mom or dad, sister, brother, whatever, your children. If somebody's coming against you, it's the devil. Come on now. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We realize the devil is coming against us. I know it's hard for somebody. You got to understand this. Don't fight it in the natural. If you're having a problem with your children, pray. Pull down strongholds. Having problems with neighbors, pray. Pull down strongholds. Having problems with somebody else, pray. Pull down strongholds. We've pulled down a lot of strongholds around here. We're going to continue to pull down strongholds. Why? Because we've got God on our side. Come on now. It's our heritage that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. It's our heritage, okay? So, Isaiah 59:19 says this, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know what that means? We already won. We've already won. So it don't matter what the enemy's trying to do. Don't matter how he comes again. Notice when he comes in like a flood. Man, we've been having a lot of floods. You've noticed a lot of things have happened. But just picture that now. Some of those devastating floods that happen. The Bible says even if the devil comes at you like that, God's going to raise up a standard against it. He's going to stop him from doing what he wants to do. It may get others, but it's going to go around you. Did you hear me? Come on, why? Because I'm a child of God. I know what my heritage is. Don't you? I know what God says I have and who I am. Not trying to be, bragging, or I'm not trying to be prideful. I just know who I am in Christ according to the Word of God. And you do too. And we're going to stand and we're going to operate in that. And we're going to continue to pull down the strongholds of the devil and continue to be blessed of the Lord because we understand and know that it's not by might, not by spirit, or not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you, God, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Thank you, Father God, that your word declares, Father God, that you have us in your hand. Father God, and I thank you, Lord, that we know that we're protected because you are a protector. Thank you that you are our help in time of trouble, Father. Now I ask you, Father God, to always continue to help us to be mindful of the fact that you're always there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You go with us all the way to the end of the age. And Father, I pray, Lord, right now, for every person that's here, that they'll be strengthened in the inner man, Father God, and the eyes open to understand the knowledge and the revelation of who you are and who you are in us and who we are. So we bless you and praise you and thank you for that. We give you glory and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in this place and you need us to pray with you, believe God with you for anything, we want to give you an opportunity.